Please be seated. Watch and pray that you may not enter into temptation. The Spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. During our parish mission, we've got rid of our sins through a good general confession, and we're feeling pretty good. The Spirit is willing, but our enemies are still strong. The flesh is weak. So we've got to avoid falling into the same old sins again. Don't become discouraged at the thought of the spiritual battle ahead, but rather now is the time to make good resolutions for the future. These are the weapons that you will need to fight the world, the flesh, and the devil. Vigilate, Jesus says, be on your guard that you may not enter into temptation. And one important means of persevering in God's grace is avoiding the occasions of sin. We're going to look at this subject this evening, then, in 3 points. Firstly, some common occasions of sin. Secondly, how to make the internet safe for your family. And thirdly, some typical excuses for not having internet blockers. Let's begin with our first point, some common occasions of sin. Firstly, what is a proximate occasion of mortal sin? It's a person, place, or thing that, more often than not, causes you to lose God's grace and friendship. Now, it is true that the occasions of sin will not be the same for everyone. It depends on a lot of different circumstances, age, gender, etc. But here are the principles involved. The occasions of sin are either unnecessary or necessary. It is unnecessary when you can remove it from your life. For example, an alcoholic must avoid alcohol. If you have a bad companion who frequently leads you into sin, dating before one is ready for the sacrament of matrimony. The rule here is that one must get rid of these unnecessary proximate occasions of mortal sin. Indeed, to keep a proximate occasion of sin in your life is itself a mortal sin. For example, a drunkard who keeps a bottle around, they cannot get out of mortal sin until they actually get rid of the bottle. Someone who is dating when they are too young or otherwise unprepared for marriage, they must get rid of this occasion of sin. As the wise man says in the Old Testament, the book of Ecclesiasticus, chapter 3, whoever loves danger will perish in it. And as a result, there is an obligation to confess these proximate, unnecessary occasions of sin. Now, besides the unnecessary occasions of sin, there are also what we call necessary occasions of sin. This is when it is impossible to remove it from your life. For example, nowadays, many, if not most people, simply must use the internet, even though it might be an occasion of sin. Again, dating when one is preparing for marriage. This is an occasion of sin, but it is obviously necessary. A doctor who has to deal with patients of the opposite gender. This is a necessary occasion of sin. So the rule here is that the necessary occasions of sin must be made as remote as possible so that it's less likely that you offend God by these sins. So, for example, you can't simply avoid going to work or to the bank or to the grocery store simply because of the way people are dressed or the kinds of magazines that they have lying around there. No. So what do? Here you practice custody of the eyes. Again, for a young person who is dating in order to get ready for marriage, in this case, the occasion of sin is made more remote by not being alone for a long time, which is way too dangerous. Again, they must avoid prolonged signs of affection, which again are dangerous for courting couples. There is an obligation to confess the unnecessary proximate occasions of sin. If one deliberately does not confess these occasions of sin, then indeed it makes the sacrament invalid and sacrilegious. Now, if the penitent promises to remove this unnecessary occasion of sin immediately, then the priest may give absolution, the forgiveness of sins. However, if the penitent will not promise to remove the unnecessary proximate occasion of mortal sin, then the priest cannot give absolution, cannot give the forgiveness from the sins. Not because God doesn't want to forgive, but because the sinner is not disposed to receive God's forgiveness. In other words, it's not God's fault if you're not forgiven, it's your own fault. Now let's take a look at some common occasions of sin. So we've already mentioned alcohol for certain persons and bad companions for others. With regards to dating, if you were to ask the typical teenager on the street out there nowadays, what is dating all about? They'd say, oh, it's a great opportunity for a wonderful smooch fest. Well, we all know that's wrong. Rather, dating is meant as a preparation for the sacrament of matrimony. And that's why there are rules involved. So, therefore, for young men, a young man may not begin to date until he is financially capable of supporting a wife and child. So, for example, if he's entering a profession, for example, he's going through college to get his degree, he probably won't be able to start dating until he's 21, a year away from graduating, and he's got a job lined up for himself right out of college. For a young man who's going into a trade right out of high school, it depends on how much he's going to be making. If he's making sufficient to be able to support a family, then he can start dating at that point. For young ladies, they simply need to be emotionally mature enough for motherhood. I think that most of our girls, by the time that they leave high school, do have that emotional maturity, though I would not suggest that they run after the first Joe Sixpack who comes across their way. So please remember that if these criteria are not met, it will ordinarily be a mortal sin for a young person to date because of the occasion of sin involved. And so we may say that teenagers in general are forbidden to date. However, obviously they are social beings and they need to be able to get together, preferably with those of the same gender. But in any case, there must absolutely be no pairing off until they're actually ready to start preparing for marriage. Parents need to be vigilant regarding the occasions of sin in the home. So especially any form of the media, you need to be aware of what's there with TV, music, books, especially if there's romance novels in the house, magazines, cell phones, etc. Now, how can you make these things safe? For the TV, I would simply say get rid of the local channels and cable. We all know that even when the programming isn't so bad, the commercials nowadays are horrible. So whereas if you've got a TV and you're using it only for DVDs, that is much safer because you've got much more control over what the family is watching. Because remember that if mom and dad are out of the room, what do you think Johnny's going to be turning on? It's not going to be Leave It to Beaver reruns. With regards to movies and videos, there is a program available called Clear Play. You can find this on the internet, clearplay.org or .com or whatever. It's been years since I've looked at it. And last time I did look at it several years ago, what it is that you pay, I don't remember how much, but you are given access to literally thousands of movies that have had anything objectionable seamlessly taken out of them so that you are unaware that there is anything missing. I've been told by many parents across the United States that this makes life so much easier for them so that they're not having to worry about their kids accidentally seeing something. And it also prevents them having to do that fumble for the fast forward button. Video games, parents must be vigilant about this. Obviously, there must be nothing that's inappropriate, but even if the video games are decent, still, you need to make sure that the kids are not wasting time. With regards to cell phones, we're talking about if you've got kids at home, minors living at home, then you need to check on who they're calling. What kind of pictures are they sending? You need to be aware of this, dear parents. Now, any device with the internet is a danger, and that's what we're going to see in our next point. Point two, how to make the internet safe for your family. Please remember that modern technology in itself is not something bad. Rather, it's something good because it's been created by God. It's our misuse of modern technology, our abuse of modern technology. That's what's wrong. And unfortunately, the misuse of modern technology, it's easy. And so that's why, as the old saying goes, an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. But Father, you might say, I have passwords on my computer and on my internet. That's not enough, because in case you didn't know, yes, kids can hack. Absolutely. But Father, I always check the internet history. This is not enough, dear parents, because the kids are tech savvy and they know how to clear the history before you look at it. But Father, I've got the computer and the internet in an open place in our house so that everyone can see what if someone's using it. This is a good thing to do in order to avoid time wasting by the kids, but this is not enough. The answer to the problems here is to have an internet blocker. Internet blockers are necessary. They are not optional. All you have to do is Google on free internet blocker, enter, and you get a whole list of ones that are completely free of charge. For example, one internet blocker that a lot of traditional Catholic families use is called K9 Blue Coat. This is available not only for computers, but also for iPhones now, and this is free of charge. Another blocker is called NetNanny. Another program, which is probably the best one available, is called CovenantEyes.com. Now, this is available also for iPhones. It does cost about $100 a year, but I've been told by many people across the country that it is worth its weight in gold. Because what this program does is that you set it up with a friend of your choosing, someone discreet that you trust, and the program then sends an email to your friend once a week with a list of all the web pages that you or your family have looked at during the week, which obviously cuts down on any kind of sin simply because of the human respect involved. So as I say, this is perhaps the very best one out there on the market. I certainly recommend this. No, I do not get any piece of the profits for saying this, but it is best. I do recommend this highly for everyone. That doesn't mean just for someone. No, I mean everyone. Another program that is available for iPhones is called MobiCIP. That's spelled MobiCIP. Another one is called OpenDNS. I'm sorry, I do not know much about this. However, I simply know that it does block at the router. So in other words, if anyone's in the house has Wi-Fi, then of course it will block anything indecent. So that helps with the Wi-Fi in the home. With the Covenant Eyes, because you've got an accountability partner then, the accountability partner acts as a guardian angel to protect you and your loved ones from doing anything that could offend God. Now also, please note, parents, you want to make passwords unbreakable. If you think that your kids don't know how to hack, think again. It's just... It happens too often. You know, parents, they put in their anniversary date or the name of their favorite pet or their address or something. Well, of course the kids are going to be able to break through that. What do you think? So you need to make the password unbreakable. How do you do this? Make it something completely obscure. Use symbols, exclamation points, question marks, at signs in non-obvious places in your password. This helps to make it unbreakable. And of course, do not leave your password somewhere where your kids can find it, like on your family computer, unless you've got it encrypted. That brings us to our third point. Typical excuses for not having internet blockers. There are three types of excuses. The first type basically comes down to parental naivete. My kids wouldn't do anything like that. My children wouldn't look at anything bad on the internet. Of course, that's what the devil wants you to believe. There are two truths that you need to remember. Firstly, children are clever. Secondly, parents are naive. And this is very true. Some years ago, I had received a letter from a mother of a large family in one of the big parishes, traditional Catholic parishes here in the United States, where I had been preaching a parish mission. And afterwards, she wrote to me and she asked to make her story known. So here's what she writes. After hearing you preach about the internet, I got to thinking, I wonder if our babysitter is using the internet when we're gone. Let me check. Imagine my horror, she says, when I found that my preteen son had been watching sinful images while I was in the next room. And I never in a million years would I have suspected such a thing. And I have always considered myself to be a vigilant mother. How God has humbled me. Please let others know what happened to me so that they can prevent the same thing happening to their families. Now, that was a few years ago I received that letter. And since then, I've received others just like it. Because it can happen. And unfortunately, it does happen. And again, unfortunately, this is the fault of the naivete of the parents. Even if your children wouldn't look at anything bad, what about their friends? Hey, Johnny, let me use your computer. Let me use your iPhone for a minute. Well, what do you think the friends might be looking at? That's why, then, you need to be on top of these things and definitely have blockers on anything that has internet in your home. Even if your kids are good kids, you don't know what their friends are going to be like. But Father, you might say, I have only girls. They won't be tempted. Parents are naive. Remember that the devil is an equal opportunity tempter. He does not discriminate. You want to protect, yes, even your girls and their friends. But Father, my kids need to learn responsibility. Without a blocker, they'll learn to make good choices and be prepared for when they're on their own in college. Yes, I have actually heard this one, in fact. And again, children are clever, parents are naive. You want to teach your kids good habits now. Get them into the habit of using internet only with a blocker on it, so that then when they go to college later on, they will be used to this and they will themselves continue that good habit. But Father, you might say, I'm 90 years old, I live by myself, I'm half blind, I'm not going to look at anything bad. Still, if you are a parent or a grandparent, you are responsible for what happens under your roof. Grammy, can I use your internet? Sure, darling, go ahead. You are responsible. Now, I can understand some grandparents are not tech savvy. That's not their fault, obviously. Rather, have one of your adult kids put a blocker on your internet to protect your grandkids. Now, a second kind of excuse comes down to parental human respect. What will my children think? They'll think that I don't trust them. So you always tell your own kids that life isn't a popularity contest. Likewise, remember the same thing applies for yourself. Life isn't a popularity contest with your kids. Just because the mom and dad put the internet blocker onto the computer doesn't mean that you're crushing Johnny and Susie. Rather, you're protecting them from evil. And so children have a duty to trust their parents, whereas the parents' trust of the children is not a duty. It is only a privilege. Because remember that trust is different from love. Children have the unconditional love of their parents, but however, not the unconditional trust. This is total difference. The parents' trust is a privilege that each child must earn by making good choices. But Father, they'll think that I'm taking away their freedom if I put the blocker on their internet. Yes, you're taking away their freedom to sin, and that's a good thing. So remember that blockers aren't meant to block everything out. They block only the bad stuff, and what child could possibly complain about that? As St. Ignatius of Loyola says, Lord, take my liberty and my will. Give me only your love and your grace. With these I am rich enough, and I desire nothing more. So parents, think of the future. If your children grow up to be good Catholics, one day they will thank you for having protected their innocence with blockers. But if your children grow up badly, they will one day thank you for your sinful permissiveness. And at the last judgment, one day Jesus Christ will ask you, "Why did you let your child offend me?" But Father, you might say, if I've got blockers on all our computers and devices, people will think that we're all looking at bad stuff. No, it doesn't mean that at all. A person doesn't get a blocker simply because they've been naughty. Rather, it's as a preventative, because they know their own weakness and the weakness of their families, and even the weakness of your friends who might use your devices, etc. So if you've got blockers, people will know that you're a devout Catholic trying to protect yourself and your family. And that is something edifying, because your good example will encourage others to protect themselves and their families, and that's a good thing. A third type of excuse is parental lack of tech knowledge. But Father, it simply blocks too much, or it's impractical. Now, this is an understandable complaint, because not everyone is tech savvy. I understand that. And this, however, is easily fixed. You simply have to set the parameters low enough so that it doesn't block everything out, but simply the bad stuff. Now, if you are not a computer geek yourself, find a geeky friend. I mean, sure, everyone's got a geeky friend who can help you to find the right kind of internet blocker to set the parameters correctly, etc., so that it's not slowing your computer down, etc., etc. Remember, dear parents, that the devil tries to discourage blockers, and therefore the devil will try to suggest excuses. So that if you do not have a blocker, remember that for many people, this will be an unnecessary occasion of mortal sin. And for the rest of the people, it will at least be a sign of tepidity, because they're not serious enough about protecting themselves and their loved ones and their friends. So if you've got the internet, a blocker is absolutely necessary. It is not optional nowadays. A good general will try to foresee the strategy of the enemy in order to prevent an ambush. And likewise, you've got to try to foresee the way that the devil will try to attack you and your children and your friends. So that if you make your home safe for yourself and your children, you'll know that you're doing everything you can to help persevere in God's grace and friendship. We've looked at these three points: the common occasions of sin, how to make the internet safe for your family, and we've refuted excuses for not having internet blockers. Remember that there is a great reward that Jesus promises if we persevere to the end. As St. James says in his epistle, chapter 1, "Blessed is the man who perseveres, for he will receive the crown of life." Heaven is worth any sacrifice. The innocence of your children is worth any effort. So let's ask the Blessed Virgin Mary to do what's necessary to protect your family and to call down God's blessings upon you all. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.